the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Why did he use that word?
God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself.
The greatest gift you will ever give this world is your intimacy with God.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power right now.
I think what Jesus really wants is people to go. I want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer request.
Welcome to the Fuel for the Harvest podcast.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. This is Nathan.
And this is Charlie. We're your hosts for today. And man, this is going to be an interesting topic that we're talking about today.
Indeed.
So before we just get into exactly what it's going to look like, I want to start off with a little story. I had felt led by the Lord to go to one particular country in Asia. And I started to prepare, and I was going to be joining a team. So I sent in my passport to get a visa to this country. And after several weeks, you know what happened? Denied.
I think you might have told this story on the podcast before, but
I don't remember.
We can rehearse it.
I don't know.
Or we can rehash it.
I don't think I did, but too bad. So denied. I was rejected. I didn't get into that country.
Right.
And so I'm going, man, what do I do? I guess maybe God doesn't want me to go. Some people would say, well, it seems like God has closed the door. Maybe he doesn't want you to go. Mm. And I'm wrestling, wondering, what do I do? And my wife was praying, I really think you're supposed to go. I was praying, I feel like I'm supposed to go. And that night I happened to be reading through 1 Thessalonians. And I came across this fascinating verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. And it says, we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. I thought, what? How's that even possible? Like, Satan hindered them from going?
It seems like of all the people in the Bible who wouldn't be hindered by Satan, Paul would be on the top of that list.
I was shocked when I read that. Like, how's that possible? Like, he can hinder our mission that God has called us to do in obedience? It was insane. So I went to bed and just thinking, wow, that's fascinating. Woke up the next morning praying and felt like God was saying, hey, Satan's hindering you, but you're called to go. I was like, where is that verse? And so I Googled Satan hindered us, and 1 Thessalonians 2:18 came up. I said, oh, that's where it was, and opened up my Bible again. And it so happened while I was Googling it, a verse or a sermon popped up on Google called Satanic Hindrances by Charles Spurgeon. And so that looks interesting. I better read that sermon. So I started reading this sermon, and Spurgeon starts to discuss what was actually hindering Paul and the others from going to the Thessalonians. You could read about Thessalonica. I have it in my Bible here in Acts, I think it's chapter 17. Yeah, Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas are in Thessalonica, so they wanted to return there. You can see what happened there, incredible stuff. But they were actually run out of Thessalonica due to persecution, extreme persecution. And
right. We
know from Thessalonians, the church there was horrendously persecuted. And so what did Satan use to hinder them? It could have been the intense persecution that kept them from coming back there. It could have been the needs and the heresies among other churches and the division that was going on that took Paul to focus on those things because they really needed his help. It could have been travel troubles. We've had a few of those throughout our days.
Well, only a few.
So we don't know exactly. The text doesn't say. It could be any or all of these things. It just says Satan hindered us. So anyway, back to the story. I'm reading this and I'm going, wow. And I'm reading through this sermon where Spurgeon is saying, hey, what happened at the end of the day? Satan was afraid that the firebrands of gospel truth would be flung out among the masses and a gracious wildfire would take place. Mm. Wow. Now, it just so happens that at that time, I was part of this training program. You've been a part of it as well, Nathan, called right. Forge Firebrands, and a training program, an apprenticeship post-college, a three-year program to raise up those who feel called to itinerant preaching and ministry.
Right. It's not exactly a common word that just gets used
no.
all the time.
This was the only place at that point in my life, the only place I had seen this word commonly used. So when I read it in this sermon, I said, God definitely wants me to go. I have to go. Mm. But now what? Like the door's sealed shut. What do I do? So I won't give away my secret because that wouldn't be too good, but I found a way to get there. And somehow I was able to obtain a visa to go through some creative ways that I had discovered.
Nothing illegal.
No, it was legal. Although I'm saying, hey, I'd get and do anything to get the gospel in any country. But it was legal. God made a way. And off I went. And God did incredible things in that country to expand the gospel and see believers empowered to go and multiply. But all that to say, this verse brings up a fascinating topic. I think it's often thrown around in the Christian world, like, hey, if you really have a lot of faith and you're walking with Jesus, that kind of stuff isn't going to happen to you.
Right. We've come to kind of expect that if I'm truly walking in God's will, and if I'm, you know, being moral and all those things, then surely I wouldn't experience spiritual difficulties. I wouldn't experience spiritual attack.
I personally believe that couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah.
Look at the life of Jesus. He makes a public declaration of his ministry, baptism. What is the very next thing that happens? Boom.
Temptation.
By Satan himself.
Right.
Attacked by Satan in the wilderness. So Jesus stands forth in victory saying, I'm making a public declaration of my ministry. He's declaring war, and Satan comes against him immediately. If Satan's coming against Jesus, then boy, you better watch out. I think, man, there's this idea that Satan, especially when it comes to unreached people groups around the world, he's kept these groups in bondage for generations and generations and generations, and he's blinded the minds of all unbelievers. So do we really think there's not going to be satanic resistance?
Right. And you guys have heard us talk about this, and I think we even did an episode on like why you can't trust open and closed doors as establishing God's will. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, this episode sounds a lot like that episode. What we're trying to focus in on here is really, what can Satan do, right? Like, at some level, that's
yeah, like
the nuance here that we're talking.
He can hinder us.
Right.
So it could be, well, okay, this door seems shut, so maybe God doesn't want me to go there. Or these two doors seem open, so which one does God want me to choose? Like, forget the door. Satan could be sealing it shut, and the Lord's saying, go kick down a door in the name of Jesus. Like, do we really think that Satan's cool with us prancing in and stirring up a demonic hornet's nest? Like, right. No, he's going to be coming against that with everything he can, seal the door, close it, barricade it, say, don't come in. But yet still, the name of Jesus is more powerful even than that when we face resistance.
Right. And ultimately, that's where we put our hope. Yeah, the prince of this world has power. Like, there are things that have come against Charlie, and I could tell you story after story of things that have come against us as we've sought to preach the gospel to the unreached.
Tons.
So many.
Let me name a few.
Yeah.
Like let's just throw out just a couple of resistances we've faced when trying to take the gospel to unreached people. Landslides blocking the only road in or out.
Oh, regions. Yeah, I remember that.
That's pretty wild. We're sitting there. Oh, landslide. Okay, I guess we can't
guess
get in
and out.
Guess
we're sitting. Hey, at least it was only a few hours delay. It could have been worse.
It has been at times. But not only that, required police escorts, rumors of rebel attacks, government leaders working to shut down our activities, debilitating sicknesses, discouraging and divisive spiritual attacks, fear of danger, fear of the unknown, news of problems back home, vehicle breakdowns, opposition to the mission coming from the very people we would expect to support the mission, not to mention countless other things.
Man, it's almost like you're reading that off a list that you already wrote.
countless things.
Yeah.
Anything that comes to your mind.
Yeah. I mean, I've been there for a large number of those exact same hindrances. One that sticks out particularly in my mind was as we were headed to the Hodge Bay. We talk about the Hodge Bay an awful lot. We do go to places other than the Hodge Bay, but as we were headed to the Hodge Bay,
I've been to like 20 countries now, something like that.
Yeah, we experienced one spiritual attack after another, and one of those spiritual attacks was one of the government. The Hodge Bay have been treated as this kind of tourist group, and so you have to like get government permission and blah 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 blah, and all this stuff. It just goes on and on and on. Anyway, we're going to the government official. up until this point, we've never had serious trouble getting to the people. And the guy's literally putting his foot down. He's saying, you will not go. You have to go and get permission from this other government authority. Otherwise, I'm not going to let you go. And like just pressure after pressure after pressure. Like it was so insanely difficult to get through to this guy. We ended up finally, I think it was the Holy Spirit at work that allowed us to get there. But we've experienced all kinds of crazy things trying to hinder us from getting to the people.
Time and time again, we've felt the weight and reality of these words. Satan hindered us. In fact, I now find it as an encouragement.
Maybe we're doing the right thing if we're experiencing this kind of attack.
Yeah, I wrote this quote in my Bible from this Charles Spurgeon sermon. It says, "This is the witness of all who have written a holy line on the historic page or carved a consecrated name on the rock of immortality. Satan hindered us." Man, for anybody, basically he's saying anybody that's ever anyone who has ever had an eternal impact on this earth, Satan hindered you. Everyone's experienced that who is really moving the kingdom forward. And it's just, while we're on this topic, I too often hear the phrase when we start talking about these things, well, we'll start sharing a story or talking about a scripture. Well, we want to be careful. We don't want to give Satan, you know, too much recognition here. Like, it's almost like we're saying, yeah, he's real, but it's not like he does that many significant things in the world. And we don't want to give him too much power or recognition. And my first thought is like, seriously? You really think that our little conversation is going to somehow magically empower Satan? Mm-mm. That's absolutely absurd. He's already ransacking the earth. It says he's a prince and ruler of the air, and that he's waging war against the saints and those who follow and obey Jesus. So I'm not so sure how our little conversation about it is going to magically empower him. Give him some like Lucky Charm wings or something.
Lucky Charm wings?
Where did that come from? I just made that up right now. Secondly, if you're like, you guys seem a little crazy about this right now, is that legit? I'll just say this. Go preach the gospel among an unreached people group and see what happens. I dare you.
Yeah.
You're going to find satanic resistance pop up like you couldn't believe. And you don't have to travel all the way around the globe to find them. I'll bet in a city that you're living in or a city near you within a couple hours drive, you could research and find refugees and immigrants from unreached people groups. When I say unreached, I don't mean lost. I don't mean unevangelized. I'm not talking about your neighbor who doesn't know about
technically
Jesus.
Has access to the gospel.
Yes, yeah. I'm talking about Somali Muslims, Pakistanis, Tibetan Buddhists, you name it, people from places where their ethnic people group has less than 2% Christianity, no way to hear the gospel in their ethnic people group and language. Go preach among them and see what happens. I think you're going to discover Satan's strongholds pretty quickly.
Right. So obviously we're not doing this podcast to just freak people out and be like, beware of Satan. Like, that's not our goal
but
here.
But do beware.
Yeah, beware.
Be sober-minded and watchful.
Be aware, but don't be freaking out. Yes. Don't be afraid of what Satan could potentially do, because ultimately we have the one who is inside of us is greater than he who is in the world. And so we don't have to have fear. We don't have to worry. And we even have some armor that we can put on. Ephesians chapter 6, stand firm, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shoes of the gospel of peace, sword of the spirit, and the shield of faith, which extinguishes every fiery dart of the enemy.
Really important. And I also want to share 1 Peter 5:8. So what kind of mind should we have about this? It's what I was quoting. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary or your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Man, the same kind of sufferings have been come against every believer throughout the world who wants to advance God's kingdom. So stand firm, but be sober-minded. Keep your mind active, engaged. Be aware, be watchful, be looking around. Like, is Satan at work here? Could we lift up the shield of faith? Could we pull out offensively the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, and and kick some demon butt by quoting the scripture out loud. This is highly, highly important.
So here's a question that I could see people asking. All right, so we know that Satan is the prince of the world. We know that he's active. We know that he's actively trying to prevent us from sharing the gospel with others. We also know that we have the armor of God so that we can stand up, like it literally says, so that you can stand, and having put on the whole armor of God, that you may stand against the schemes of the devil, there in verse 11. What kind of consequences should we be expecting? Like, are we supposed to just expect to have our bottoms handed to us? How do we respond in those situations? Like, what would you say to that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think of the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, the sons of Sceva who lost their skivvies. So if you don't know the passage, you're like, what on earth are you talking about? In the book of Acts, there's the story of these itinerant Jewish exorcists. Now, I am itinerant, but I'm not Jewish, and I don't think I'm an exorcist. But I do pray in the name of Jesus. I'll say that, and I do itinerate. But there's these Jewish itinerant exorcists, and they're going around, and they don't really follow Jesus, but they're saying, well, it seems like his name's pretty powerful. Let's try it. So they come after this guy with demons, and they try to invoke the name of Jesus. And this guy basically freaks out, overpowers them, and they run away wild. And just this guy overpowered them and attacked them. So key thing there, they didn't have the Spirit of God.
Okay.
They didn't have greater is he who is in us. He wasn't in them. So I think a key thing is that we're true believers. We're really following Jesus, filled with the Spirit, meaning controlled by the fruit of the Spirit's coming out of our life. I think of a proverb, the righteous are as bold as a lion. So I recently heard it said, what about you guys? Like I thought we're sheep. Now we're lions? Like, what is it? We're a sheep when it comes to following Jesus. We're a lion when it comes to everybody else in the world. And so I think...
Although Jesus did say, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves.
So that's true. Meaning we're going to be attacked.
Right.
But we should have the fierceness and boldness of a lion to step forward with the name of Jesus, with the word of God. So anyway, to answer that, I don't think we should have our butts handed to us like the sons of Sceva.
You just cussed on the podcast.
That's not, no. I don't think that would be the case. I don't think we should be able to have to be overcome by lies and have strongholds in our life. So Ephesians 4 says, don't let the sun go down on your anger and give Satan a stronghold in your life. So I don't think we have to have strongholds where his resistance, his attacks, his oppression against us actually destroys our spiritual life or hinders our walk with Jesus. Now, will it come against us? Yeah. Should we expect his arrows to fly at us? Maybe that thought will come into our mind. You're no good at this. You should just give up. We should expect those things to happen. The question is, what do we do with it?
Right.
So I don't think we have to let that stick and hinder our life from then on forward. So no, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. For his word says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You start quoting scripture out loud, like Jesus does in fighting Satan when he comes against him. And all of a sudden you'll see that power and victory come through. So I think that's a key piece is there victory? Yes. Is there attack? Yes.
Right. And in the midst of those attacks, don't be surprised if God takes what Satan intended for evil and uses it for good.
Yes.
It's a pattern that we've seen time and time again. Things like a broken down vehicle result in someone hearing the gospel who we wouldn't have even noticed because we'd have just driven by their town.
Muslim family.
Right. I think we've told that story too on the podcast. But ultimately, we've watched as God has taken the distractions and made them into the mission. So, I mean, even in the midst of these attacks, God is at work actively bringing these things to good.
Yeah, that's a good point. So first off, I think of it like it is a spiritual battle. So think of it being in a war with a sword and a shield. Are you going to take some hits? Yeah. But imagine that you're guaranteed that the war will be won. So arrows will be flying, but you have a shield to put them out. Well, man, somebody's coming against your shield. That's going to rock you a little bit, but it's not going to take you out. You can still move forward in the victory that's been given. And that's how I look at it. Satan's coming against. He's going to resist. He's going to hinder. But you still have the ultimate victory as you're walking with Jesus. And I think about fascinating story in the book of Daniel. I don't remember what chapter. Go read the book of Daniel. I think it's chapter 7. Might be chapter 10. Or I don't remember. I think it's chapter 7. The story goes that Daniel was praying. And then somehow there's this angel that says, hey, God sent me to answer your prayer, but the prince of Persia stopped me and fought against me for 21 days. So that's, I don't know what to do with that verse. It's kind of a crazy verse. Essentially, in the spiritual realm, there's an angel who came as a messenger, as an answer to prayer, but a demon stopped him from coming for 21 days until another angel came and overpowered that demon so he could come. So kind of interesting how Satan was fighting against the angelic realm as well.
So we talk a lot about spiritual attack in the context of mission. That's our context. But there's a lot of people out there whose everyday context is not necessarily vocational ministry or mission. And they're experiencing spiritual attack in like fear or anxiety, or maybe they're experiencing spiritual attack in the form of
lies against you or God.
Right. I mean, there's just so many potential options here. The question is, what do we say to them outside of the context of mission about spiritual attack, about what Satan is able to do?
I think we'll have to do another podcast on that topic. That's a whole nother topic, but essentially, it's the same concept. You can be attacked, but you don't have to give in and submit to it and have defeat. If there is defeat in a constant, what we would call a stronghold pattern that's holding you back, that's the whole other podcast of right there. What do you do with that, and why is that in your life?
Yeah.
Which we'll probably do that in an upcoming episode, so be tuned in for that. I do want to, before we wrap up this topic, I was just thinking about that topic or that theme that you brought up of what good could satanic hindrance bring in our life, especially as it relates to his kingdom advancing. So the topic you just brought up is more like, what's happened inside my heart and life with Satan's attacks?
Right.
What we've been talking about is more like Satan hindering the mission of God.
Sure.
Like he did Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. So what good does a satanic hindrance in the mission of God do for our life? I think we're promised to face satanic hindrance when we join God's mission, but I actually think it makes us stronger. We think about working out, exercising our muscles. No pain, no gain. Resistance training. Why would we think anything else when it comes to our spiritual lives?
Right.
We have to face resistance to gain spiritual grit, to gain perseverance, endurance, strength. We shouldn't expect our spiritual lives to work any other way. Our spiritual muscles, they only grow with resistance. And I think about James chapter 1. It says,
when you encounter trials of various kinds.
Yeah. Yeah. Consider it pure joy, so that the testing of your faith may produce perseverance. Allow perseverance to finish its course, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. God wants to strengthen your faith, grow you, give you the opportunity to lack nothing in your walk with him. That only comes through joy in the midst of suffering and trials and difficulties. And Satan wants to bring these obstacles and come against you. And this gives you an opportunity to get up close to Jesus and see him overcome and grow in your spiritual faith, endurance, grit, perseverance.
All of the above.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I actually think that satanic hindrance and resistance brings opportunity for spiritual advancement.
Yeah. I was reading through Hebrews, and I can't remember what chapter it's in, but just the other day reading through Hebrews, and the place where it talks about God's desire to discipline his children, and like how that brings good. And I think that potentially God can allow certain difficulties to come our way. He can allow certain spiritual attack to come our way. And like that grows us and makes us more into the image of him.
God didn't do that with anybody in the scripture, did he?
Never.
Job? Perfect. Not perfect. Not sinful. Totally faithful to God.
Yeah. When Charlie says not sinful, he means not actively choosing to sin.
Yes, I do agree that he was born in sin like all of humanity, so don't take that out of context. But he was a man fully faithful to God, eyes fixed on what God wanted, a holy man, a godly man. Mm. And Satan said, how about him? Is he really going to remain faithful to you if he suffers? And God let it happen. And at the end of the book, after all of his suffering, which included not only losing his family, losing his home, losing his belongings, getting ransacked by sickness, his best friends stabbed him in the back. Mm. So people came against him, his closest relationships destroyed and distraught. All of that happened because of Satan's attacks. And at the end of the day, Job said, before I'd heard of you, but now I've seen you with my own eyes. That was his statement to God. Mm. Oh, man, he got so up close to God, and God brought a fullness into his life that wasn't there before in the midst of his suffering, caused by Satan.
So there you go. So will the attack come? You can bet on it. It's going to come. However, do we need to roll over and just get our bottoms handed to us? I don't think so.
No, it's more like pick up the sword of the Spirit and kick some butt in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Spiritually speaking, of course. And that's a victory, but that means there's a battle. You don't need a sword if there's no battle.
Yeah, that's true. Why would he give us the sword of the Spirit if we didn't need to use it?
That's a fact, Jack.
All right.
Well, guys, be sober-minded. Be watchful, for Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, and he desires to hinder the mission of God in your life. But Jesus is victorious, so let's keep getting after it in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Have a great day, guys.